It's exactly what he wants to do. Thank you, worship team, very, very much. Well, in the 1960s, a long ways away from where some of you never even knew what the 60s were, there was a psychologist by the name of Walter Mischel, and he conducted what is now known, a test known as the marshmallow test. If you reach underneath your seat, you'll find a marshmallow. There isn't. Don't go there. I'm just kidding. What they did in this test is they took a group of four-year-olds and they gave them a marshmallow. And they said, if you could wait 20 minutes before eating this marshmallow, we'll give you another one. How many of you would have passed the marshmallow test? Ah, some of you. Yeah, John doesn't like sugar. Well, what they did is they found that some waited and some didn't. And then these researchers followed after these kids and into their adolescence. And it showed that those who had the ability to wait were better adjusted and more dependable, and scored an average of 210 points higher on the SATs. I did a little reading there. I guess there's some debate about the study now, but it makes for a good sermon illustration to start this sermon out. So the question is, how well would we have done? Are you willing to wait for things, or do you want your marshmallows right now, usually? And it could be a lot of different things, not just marshmallows. I'm pretty sure I would have been sent home for not only eating my marshmallow, but taking all the other kids' marshmallows too. I do not like to wait overall. You get me in a line in a store and I think I can beat it. I'm going to go to the other line. But what happens every single time? Price check on the aisle that I'm in. I don't like to wait behind a light when the light turns green and everybody should be starting right away and they don't start right away. And as a result of those kind of moments, you can get cranky. I've heard people get cranky when they have to wait. Some people tell me that might be true about me. But what about Christmas as we wait for Christmas? We're pretty close now. We're really, really close. But I wonder how stressful we get when we're even waiting for this thing that we call Christmas. How are you as you look at how you've been doing as you've waited for what's going to be happening on Wednesday? As the day approaches, do you find it a little bit harder to wait? I know for me what happens is I get what I call the Christmas feeling in my stomach. And it starts to kind of build up as the season goes on. As my Marianne had said, it's been a lot crazy for us with Dad's illness and just all kinds of other things. So the Christmas feeling wasn't there. But last week, the Vickery's and the Wheelers, we were at a Paul Balash, is that I say that right, concert. And about just a little bit in, all of a sudden, I started to get that Christmas feeling. And it was like, oh boy, the understanding of what Christmas is all about started to hit. I know as a kid, I couldn't wait to get up and we could go, but you couldn't touch the presents or you're in a lot of trouble. But it's hard. It's hard when you have to wait. There's a story one pastor told, a lady who grew up as a little girl in a small apartment and there was five kids. And on Christmas Eve, Dad would put all the kids to bed and would tie the door shut because they were right apart from each other, so they couldn't open it. And then when he woke up and got his coffee, he would open up the door and they could come out and take a look at the tree. And I'm sure you get arrested for that now. But I love the anticipation of Christmas morning. Just love it. You're going to get together and there'll be presents and the food and family and all the fun stuff that goes along with it. And so even though you feel maybe a little bit of stress, I think it's worth waiting for that beautiful day. We have been looking at songs found in the Bible, and we're going to look at our final song this morning. We spent the last 3 weeks looking at three songs that were sung by folks in the Bible surrounding the events of the birth of Jesus. And if you remember, if you were here 3 weeks ago, we looked at the first song by Zechariah. If you remember, Zechariah was an elderly priest who was visited by an angel after 400 years of silence. And he was told that his son would be the herald, the one that would announce the coming of the Savior. The angel sang a song to the shepherds the night that they were in the field doing their shepherd thing. And that was a beautiful song they sang. Last week, we looked at Mary's song, after she kind of got over the shocking news that she was going to be the mother of not only the Savior of the world, but her own Savior. And so this morning, we'll look at the last song, and this is a song that a man by the name of Simeon sang. and we'll find out a little bit about him. But he was an elderly man who had been waiting for the birth of his Savior. And long ago, the Holy Spirit had promised him that he would not die until he saw his long-awaited Messiah. And so when we think of all the songs we've looked at, they really are all expressions of faith and of hope and of trust and peace. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to join me. We're going to stand together and read our text. It's Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. So you'd please stand with me. Let's read God's word. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Father, thank you for your word. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this is a story of a relatively obscure character in the Christmas story. We usually don't think of Simeon. We'll think of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. But most believe that he was a very elderly man, even though our text doesn't say he was old. He was ready to die, so the assumption is that he was an older man. And the scripture told us that he was righteous and he was devout. Not a bad way to be described by people, is it? Love to be able to hear people say that I was a righteous and devout person. And as we look at his life and story, he had some things to teach us about waiting, as he had been waiting for something important for a very, 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 very long time. And even though he's old, he held on and he held on and he held on. He believed that God had told him he would not die until he saw the Savior, the Messiah of Israel. And if you remember, we said it was a dark time in Israel. There had been no new revelation from God, either in the scriptures or by the prophets, and that was for 400 years. And so it really wasn't a time where there was lots of optimism by everybody who was there. But he continued to hang in there and waited and waited and waited. And because the hope that was in him was greater than the hopelessness around him, and he hung in there, he was able to see what happened. Day after day and month after month, he waited and he watched. He must have known all the prophecies it taught about a child going into the temple. And all of a sudden, he watched all these families go in. He'd wonder, is this the boy? And he continued to watch and he continued to wait. And I don't know if you, can you imagine if it was you, Mary and Joseph, they go in and they do what they're supposed to do to fulfill the law, and all of a sudden an old man walks up. And this old man's looking at you, and you can tell out of the corner of their eye, he's standing there looking at you. And as a lot of us love to do, we just put our hands out to that little child that we, the mother, just gave birth to. We as the father are standing by. And the old man says, "May I hold your baby?" And you're going, "Oh boy, what do I do here?" And I'm assuming Mary gave Joseph the look, and Joseph nodded his head, and they handed the baby over to Simeon. And you can kind of see Simeon holding him, probably holding back tears in his eyes. And he blessed his Savior. He blessed his Savior. And then he prayed and he gave thanks to God for allowing him to see the child that would reveal the true nature of God to his people. A God that they had talked about and looked at in scripture about and read about, but now they're able to see and touch and feel and hear. He prayed, I am ready to die now. God, you can take me home. It's time. There's nothing more that I need to do, and it's been worth the wait. And after he prays that, he made some prophetic statements that were both good news and bad news. And he stated that this child would be responsible for the rise and the fall for many in the days ahead, for both the death and the resurrection of all who would come after him. And so I'm assuming they were trying to figure out, what in the world is he talking about? Simeon was the first to look at this baby and state that not only was he the Messiah for all Israel, for the nation, the Jewish nation, but also he was going to be the Savior for everyone else, for the Gentiles. If you're a Gentile, would you raise your hands with me this morning? That's us. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. He says, I am going to be a Savior. He would be a Savior for everyone. And that is good news. That is good news for all of us. And not only was there going to be this, he was also going to, he said, it was going to break his mother's heart. And as he said that, Mary probably had no idea, but of course he was referring to when Jesus would have been arrested and beaten and executed, Mary's first child. And strange words from a strange old man. And I'm assuming if it was Mary and me, we would have got right out of there pretty quick. But he didn't. They didn't. It says this, Joseph and Mary marveled at what he said. I'm assuming that could only be because the Holy Spirit had prepared them for whatever was going on there. So is it worth the wait? That's kind of the question. As we look at even things that we're going through in our own lives, is it worth the wait of living the life that we're supposed to be living and we're trying to do the best that we can? Is it worth the wait? We all have things that we really want badly. And maybe things this year, as we look at the end of the year and we look at where we've been, it could be we're waiting for healthy relationships to develop, to become stronger. Maybe waiting for the end of suffering and pain. Waiting for a disease to be healed or restoration of normal, whatever that happens to be. And sometimes waiting can be like torture. And we ask ourselves, is it worth waiting? Is it worth waiting? And I just want to remind you, as we come in, we're in this season, as we get ready to celebrate the birth of our Savior, it is worth it. And I want to remind you how much your faithfulness and your hope and your perseverance and your responsive to the Spirit when he whispers something to your ear count a lot with God. It counts a lot because it's for you, but it's also for others as they watch you go through whatever it is that you're in. And so you might not be the deepest theologian, know all the Bible verses you're supposed to know. You may not let people merge in at Manlius by Burger King when they come around that corner. You may not be good with your thank you notes. But I can tell you this, if you have hope in God, and believe that whatever he's whispered to you, in whatever circumstances you find yourself in, he will reward you, and it will be worth the wait as he brings you through whatever it is that you find yourself in. So the question is, then, what do we do while we're waiting? Because every one of us are waiting. Every single one of us are waiting for God to do something or for something to take place. Well, I think Joseph and Mary here in our little story have some things to tell us about what we can do while we are waiting. And so if you like to take notes, you could write this. Number one, while you're waiting, become a marveler. Become a marveler. Mary and Joseph tried, as they were processing everything in their mind, some of us would have just ran, probably. But in verse 33, it says they marveled at what was said about their little baby son. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. What does it mean to marvel? It just means to be filled with wonder, be filled with astonishment, surprise. And if we take time, which I think a lot of us don't because of the busyness of our calendars and our world and all the stuff that we find ourselves in, we don't take time to think about all that God has done for us when he sent Jesus, when he took on flesh. And the Christmas day comes and then it goes and We're not filled with awe. So are you a marveler this Christmas? Have you taken time, or has the busyness got you? And of course, there's all the stuff we have to do, getting ready for church. We're busy. But to take time, even like we're doing right now, just to marvel and to think about Christmas as a holy day. What I want to do is just, even just for a minute, I want us to all close our eyes. I want us to think about what God did when he sent Jesus for us. I'd love to ask God to fill you with awe and wonder. And we'll just be quiet just for a second. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the Christmas story. We could repeat it almost word for word even, but it becomes so rote if we're not careful. And so I pray even over these next few days that we would become marvelers at what was said about Jesus and what he would be doing for us. So just thank you. Thank you that we can stop even for these few minutes. Amen. So if you're waiting, become a marveler. The second thing, become a mover. Become a mover. Look at verse 27. It says, moved by the Spirit, and this is Simeon, he went into the temple courts. Simeon was one who listened to what the Spirit said, and he went. When he was prompted to move, he did it. I wonder what would have happened if he hadn't gone in. If he said, go away, I don't know what that thought is. You know, you get that little whisper. What would have happened if he hadn't responded? If you think of all the characters in this story, these characters responded to the Spirit's leading, with the exception of Herod. He didn't do so well with that. But you think about Mary. Mary was ready to move when she said to the angel in Luke 1:38, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. She heard him speak and she said, I'm going to do that. I think Joseph demonstrated that he was a mover when he woke up from his dream and he obeyed the Lord. In Matthew 1:24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He moved to the place that God asked him to go. Same is true of the shepherds, right? They were in the field. In chapter 2, verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about. And then we know the wise men, and Luke calls them the Magi. They moved out of their comfort zone to find the King of Christmas. And we see that in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him. Has God prompted you to do something and you said, I don't want to hear it? No, 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 no. Many people say, I don't know if I hear it. Sometimes it's just a little impression. Call somebody, stop by and help that person out. I know that he's speaking all the time. And when he prompts us, when he moves us, you obey, it is so awesome. You'll see God just blessing you in very, very powerful ways. You know, it might mean salvation for someone. You never know. It might mean that you would become more involved as God is prompting you to serve in some way in the church or in the community. I would just ask you to ask yourself, are you willing to move if God asks? Don't procrastinate. Just be obedient to whatever it is that he whispers. You don't want to miss out on the miracle of Christmas, right? So you become a marveler, you become a mover. And the last one, and probably this is the most important, you become a messenger. Become a messenger. The final thing here, at the end of Simeon's story, there's another event that took place that we find recorded when Jesus was brought into the temple, and there's another person that we meet. It's a lady, and it's a lady by the name of, anybody know? Anna, exactly right. I'm going to read the text. This is Luke 2:36-38. There was a prophet Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. This one we know is old for sure. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. Long time. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Then down to verse 38, coming up to them, this is Mary and Joseph and the baby, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about, this is, listen to who she spoke to about the child, and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. She had a story to tell. And she was not afraid to talk about this little child who was going to be the Savior, not only for the Jewish nation, but for the whole world. And she said, I'm going to let people know about who he is. And I wonder how many of our friends and our families don't know who Jesus is yet because we're not doing what we're asked to do to be a messenger, to go into all the world and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Anna lived it out. Anna lived it out before we were told to go and make disciples. Maybe as you look at your friends and your family who are all excited and anticipating Christmas, the truth might be is they're really longing to understand what Christmas is about. And it's an unbelievable opportunity to talk about the story of Easter. Or of Easter. That's coming next. It's been a long week. Of Christmas. Easter will be coming after that. Whew, it's warm. So here's my challenge. Here's my challenge. Who can you think of right now that does not know Jesus? Not just about him, but does not know Jesus. And are you willing to be the messenger that God will use to share that story with? The simple story of what he means to you. And I'll allow them to say yay or nay. Don't shove it on anybody. That doesn't work so well. But if you are ready to present it in their ear and they want to hear it, are you ready to do that? Tell somebody about your relationship. So, as you and I are waiting, as we're waiting, are we going to be willing to become marvelers of the wonder of Christmas and let it astonish us and blow us away? Are we willing then to be movers, to move out of our comfort zone, to be able to let God use us, whatever it is that he's asking us to do? And are we willing to be messengers of the greatest news in the whole world? News that will impact people for eternity by simply admitting to God what we all know we are, which is sinners. I'm going to talk about that on Christmas Eve. That's one of those great crowd breaker uppers, maybe. But the reality is we have a Savior because why? Because we're in need of forgiveness. But we get to tell people the news that will set them free. And we need to take that message. We need to take that challenge. And we need to just allow God to use us. So my prayer is that we'll continue to wait until Wednesday morning when we wake up and we're family and friends and we're together and that God will be honored through what we say and do. So would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for Christmas. Thank you for just the marvelous, wonderful things that we get to celebrate. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to move out of your comfort zone into our lives, into our world. And for giving us a message that will change people for eternity. Lord, how can we keep quiet about that? Lord, once we have you in our lives, Jesus, once we have you and we've confessed our sin to you and we've invited you to come in, we have everything we need to live life, a life that will last for eternity. And so I pray that you would continue to help us to watch and to wait, knowing that for us, Christmas will come again and we'll get to celebrate it again and again and again until you come back. So we love you and we ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.